I'm just going to invite everyone, wherever you are, in your car, in your home, in your living room, to take some deep breaths and really just ground into your center, wherever that is in your body that you're feeling. For me, it's always my solar plexus. Like, my hand just automatically goes there and warms up. Take a few deep breaths. I call on my personal guides and archangels, Ariel and Uriel, my ascended masters, Anna, Maria, Mariana, Yeshua, and those unseen. I call on my wolf clan. Led by Max and most recently joined by River. I call on the medicines that I work with, Grandmother Cacao. I see tobacco as kind of androgynous, so I say grandmother, grandfather, tobacco. And I call on all of your guides to join us. Those that you want to bring forward right now, you can imagine them into this space to support each and every one of us, as mine will, along this journey tonight, this conversation we're going to have. Know that they're here to support each and every one of us. I come tonight in peace, in love, in clarity. I know that only the light can get into this space as love, as magic, as medicine. And I know, if I know this, each and every one of you can know this to be true. We can come together tonight in community, come together in unity to be community. To know that my voice tonight, as we journey through this, will meet the needs and say what needs to be said, and that what will be heard will be heard. That I can release my words and my energy into the ethers right now, and know that we are all one. Tonight, everyone who can hear my voice, who's present on the Zoom, who listens to this recording, that we are one. That there is nothing that is not us right now. We are breath. We are spirit. We are God incarnate as us. Aho, and so it is. So I'd like for us to start at a little place that we've heard so many times called the happy place, right? And that place can be a place imagined. It can be a place real. It can be the place where you go physically, where you know as soon as you arrived, you have no pretense, that your shoulders drop, that you are one with whatever is there, whether it's nature, whether it's your bathtub, whether it's sitting together with your sisters, whether it's a circle you have that you attend, wherever that is. Your place that allows you to just be 100% you. Because we're going to come back to that later. And I just want you to really let that place drop in your heart and know that you can call on it anytime, anywhere, no matter what's happening in your life. And then we're going to go into tonight's topic, which is you know, staying in your daily practice and having a practice and being able to use those tools when, you know, the proverbial S hits the fan, when things aren't ideal in your world, when, whether that's just stress, regular daily stress and being, you know, in that place of not enough time, or whether it's a true, like, crazy initiation that you may be going through, like the high, the low, and all the in-betweens. There's always a way to check out and not go to our place. There's always, for me, anyway, I'll just affirm that this is true for me, I can always find a reason to not sit at my altar. I can always find a reason to not take care of myself, to do my self-care. And by the way, I'm Rowan Bailey. I didn't even say that. Hi, I'm Rowan Bailey. I'm one of Bloom's advanced students. I've been sitting with her for a good 10 years in many ways and in many lifetimes. 10 years on this earth journey, many lifetimes that we know of and don't know of, I'm sure. I'm a midwife by trade. I'm a midwife in my heart, and the way that I came to really want to talk about this particular topic, and I'm going to keep my story the really, really short, like 30-second abridged version, is I live in Asheville, North Carolina. Midwifery, traditional midwifery, is illegal in my state. It almost passed to be decriminalized in my state. And so they charged me with murder for a stillbirth. And I know I was born to walk that path. I know I was. My mantra, as Bloom can attest to, was they can't kill me this time. Because, you know, in the past, that's what would have happened. And so prosecution has become our new way of persecution in modern time. And what I can say is, because I already had the tools, I was already sitting with Bloom in ceremony, I was already deeply enmeshed in that community. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have those tools. But what I can say is, even when I was incarcerated, I would buy my little Swiss Miss packs. Bloom would let me know when cacao ceremony was. I'm that person, if you've ever heard her tell that story. That was me. I would buy my Swiss Miss packs, and I would use my warm tap water, and I would mix it up, and I would sit in ceremony, and I would link in. And that was really fun and beautiful. And then they let me out on house arrest, and that was a little more challenging because I didn't have this locked door cell, right, to be alone in. And so people were around and things were crazy. And I really appreciated so much that I had the teachers that I had with Bloom and others. And so I'll just let you know some of the tools that I used. And we're going to open this up at the end because I want to hear some of your tools, because we all have those things that we do to hold ourselves in alignment. And they're all very important and equally, like, you know, I still hear people be like, well, this is what I did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I did. And we share and we borrow each other's tools and make them our own, right? So I will just say, being self-accountable is one of the hardest things that we do in anything we do. So finding a buddy, whether, no matter where you are, even if it's just somebody who can reflect back to you, you know, if you're in a place where you're just like, I can't do this anymore, I don't know why I'm here, they can reflect to you how amazing you are. Because I will affirm to each and every one of you who are on the Zoom and who are listening to this recording that you're amazing, that you all have gifts that none of us have. You have something to share. And you have a reason to be here. How do I know? Because you're here. So we get to know that, and sometimes we forget. And so it's really awesome to be able to have that person to call up and say, tell me again. Can you just remind me of my gifts, of why I'm here? It's not self-indulgent. I promise you it's self preservation. And it was for me. I remember a day, I'm just going to share this little snippet of a story of while I was on house arrest, and I was allowed to leave the house for very specific things. And this day I was going to see my attorney, and I saw a bridge, and I was driving over a bridge, and I remember going, oh, I could just throw myself off of this, hit the reset button. I believe in reincarnation, like no big deal, hit the reset button. It'll only be painful for a moment. So I called my person, right? I called one of my people, and I was like, tell me why I shouldn't throw myself off this bridge right now. Hit the reset button. And she was like, oh, can we pray? And so she just said all these beautiful things. She affirmed all of these amazing things about me in this prayer. And I was like, oh, okay, I can go on now. Like, I'm okay. I'm okay. So having those people in your toolbox is the best thing you can do for yourself, even if it's just that you're, and I'm not saying just, whether you're stressed out with your job or your kids or, you know, whatever's happening, you're just uber busy, or you are, you know, going through an initiation as I was at that time, have your people. That's one of your number one tools. One of the other things that I did and I learned from a teacher of mine is set a deadline. Okay, you get to be in the muck for this long. On this date, you have to come out of the muck. So this is your time period to eat the ice cream, veg out on Netflix, do the thing. Those things are equally important. I still do it. I'm in a grief process right now. I lost one of my amazing beloved wolf dogs this week. And so I'm like, okay, I have 2 hours every night where I get to eat ice cream and do Netflix. 2 hours a night. I have a timer. I set that timer and then I have to shut it off. And I have to get, you know, on my mat, so to speak. And so I also do that. I set timers for my prayer time, for my ceremony time, for my meditation, whatever you want to call it. And some days I may feel like 5 minutes is all I have to do. And I'll set that timer and I'll sit down for 5 minutes. And what I love about that is usually that 5 minutes turns into 30 or an hour. Because once you invoke your guides, once you call in your angels, once you just sit there and get into your still place, you know, sometimes you won't want to leave. Sometimes you will. When that timer goes off, you'll be like, that's all I got. And that's okay. You gave it your 5 minutes. But a lot of times when you come to it, just setting that timer and sitting down, even when you're just like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this. Those are usually the times. I know it's kind of a meme out there and it's kind of cliche. If you think you don't have 5 minutes to meditate for 30. But sometimes when you just get to that place and you take that deep breath, you don't want to leave that place. And for me, when I couldn't go to my happy place, physically, when I couldn't go to the river or go to it, which is why I had us imagine that place earlier, is I would call that in and I would imagine the smell of it, the look of it, the sounds of it, the feel of it. Like I would go through each checklist, like what does it smell like here? Oh, I remember that because I go there when I need to be there. So I will spend that 30, 45 seconds bringing that smell to my awareness, bringing that visual to my awareness, bringing the sounds to my awareness, bringing the twigs that are crackling under my feet as I walk on that path, whatever it is, hearing even the traffic go by in the distance if I'm just off the parkway, like if I know that magical trail that I'm on, like I will bring into my sacred imagination each and every part of that. Because I know it well. And so when you do that, sitting at your altar, sitting wherever you are, it can be sitting in your car. Sometimes I'm pet sitting because I do that as a side hustle. And the dogs or whoever animals that I'm watching are crazy. I will go do this in my car because I don't have any other peaceful place to do it. So I'll sit in my car in the quiet and I will do this practice. And that never dawned on me until somebody said, well, can you do this in your car? And I was like, oh, I guess I can. I didn't even think about that. I was just creating the story that I was in this, you know, chaotic space of, you know, 4 dogs, 5 cats and 5 goats or something where I didn't have the space to be quiet. And they were like, well, your car is parked in the driveway, right? So, you don't have to be in the temple, so to speak. I'm doing air quotes for those of you who are listening on the recording. The temple is wherever you are. So, because you are the temple, you are it. So that is one of the things that became clear to me in my own journey through this. And I have to constantly remind myself as I, you know, as I continue, because this is an ever, this is a lifetime of work. Like, we will always have challenges, whether it's with our families or just with daily life or our jobs or whatever. Traffic, it can even be sometimes. Sometimes I just have to call myself out of my anger in traffic and be like, every person around me is holy and they are just in their own journey and I'm going to send them love. And I learned that from a guy in traffic one time in Raleigh who had a little sign that said smile on it. And whenever people were beeping and doing stuff, he would just flash this smile. And I would see him almost every day in 5 o'clock traffic on the way home from work. And I'm like, he just reminded me. And it was before I was even in ceremony in any way, but he helped me breathe a little deeper and just know I was going to get home when I got home, right? And that everybody was in the same pot that I was in. So that was a great reminder. And I guess one of the things I learned most when I was in my biggest challenges was that sitting at your altar or being in ceremony can look however it needs to look. And I'll say the same thing for journaling, for, you know, for whatever it is that you do as your sacred practice. Maybe today when I sit in front of my altar, all I do is ugly cry. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I am just rattling and nothing is in my brain. Maybe I'm singing out of tune because it's the only way I can. You know, maybe I call in my guides and I put on music and I dance furiously. Like, sometimes dancing and moving my body is the only way. And when I was in jail, I just want to say I did that to pop music and it was still just as magical. I had my little transistor radio and my earbuds and I would put it on. And Britney Spears or whoever was singing would just take me wherever I needed to go and I would just move my body and dance. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you're just sitting in the stillness because your life is constant movement. So it can look however it needs to look and it doesn't have to look the same every day. That's my favorite part about all of this is your tool one day may be something that looks sacred and holy to everyone else. And another day, it may be Britney Spears with your earbuds dancing, you know, or whoever. It can be whatever it is. Everything is holy. Everything is magic. You can find it anywhere you need to be. And that is what I learned most going through my initiations. And what it's done for me since then, I will just share coming back and being able to sit again in ceremony, being able to come back to it is before my initiation process with this particular initiation, I've said this a gazillion times, but I was kind of like a wildfire out of control. I was this advocate and I was always the activist and my way was the only way and I was fierce all the time, always on. And having to sit for all that time and be, what I came to was, you don't have to be the wildfire out of control. You can still be fire, but you can be a controlled burn. You can manage that. Put your energy, you know, that sometimes that massage is the best thing you can do for everyone in your community because you can come back in a way that is more gentle, more well-received, and be part of it. And what I also learned is a new level of humor that wasn't necessarily always sarcastic and bitchy, but was also just, you know, we're all in it. And it's all an illusion. I know I've heard Bloom say this a bunch of times too, our beloved maestra. You know, it's all a program. And we get to deprogram what we no longer want to participate in and allow the program of what we do. And so I've rewritten my story from a place of first persecution, then anger, then this, to privilege. Like, it was a privilege to be who I am, whatever that is on this planet, to whomever it is. So I guess what I will say is our perspective is so powerful, it can change the past. And the way that we can do that is by coming back to ourselves, coming back to our guides, allowing them to teach us, be in the flow, and use whatever tool you have at your disposal. Like, that's what I learned, is like, sometimes it's all about Swiss Miss and Britney Spears. That was my magic for a really long time. and it was just as holy and amazing. So yeah, with that, I would love to just open it up. I'm going to unmute everyone. And I'd love to hear some of the tools that you have. We can do this popcorn style, or I guess maybe I shouldn't unmute everyone. Maybe there's some noise. Perhaps you could unmute yourself if you want to just share something. I'd love to do it popcorn style. If you feel like you can't unmute, feel free to put it in the chat. I'll read it. Did that resonate for anyone? Does anyone have anything they're burning to share or say?
Hey, Rowan, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
So I was taking notes there at the end, and you said you went from victim to, and then I lost it.
Oh, well, I went from victim, from being persecuted.
And of course, you could have just been rolling.
I was in it. Like, this is that thing of, don't ask me what I said. I was just in the moment. Does anyone remember what I said? We may have to revisit.
She said victim to privilege.
Thank you.
Feeling privileged.
Yeah, there may have been a couple things in between there, but really that was what it is. Like, you know, awesome. Being honored to live this life.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. Goldie, I see you. Are you unmuting?
Yeah.
Hi.
Well, I tried this thing this weekend where if I feel stuck and I can't journey, I will shake a rattle and sing it like, I'm going down my tunnel. I'm going to see my rat. You know, just sing it. And then there he is, I see. It was helping me if I was feeling fear or feeling stuck. To sing it.
I love that. Thank you for singing for us too. I will just say that's one of my edges. Like, we all have those edges that we hit up against, and singing out loud in front of people is one of my edges. So I appreciate you sharing your voice.
Well, I just feel like I have a problem with being edgy in general and in group situations. So I'm really dealing with that this weekend. Is like, it came up around the equinoxes. How can I equal things out? Because I go from like really soft to edgy because I'm an ex New Yorker and I like to push, and I'm a teacher. So I'm just trying to find the, like, it's the moment, the sacredness, the privilege of being there, and that what I can say, I can say it without an edge because I have a lot of fire too. And if I get very passionate about something, it can come out a little too strong. And so I'm working on that.
I'm with you, sister. I'm still, that's a constant work in action for me. Yeah. Anyone else have any, like, I'd love to hear what some of the tools that you use maybe when you're, I didn't even share this one. I'll say when I'm in traffic and I'm really frustrated, I will literally scream. Like, I will just yell as loud as I can. And it's amazing what that does to the body. Like, it just, I feel like it's like this completely soul, energetic, and body release that happens when I do that. And I love the looks I get too. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind being that person.
Rowan, I have something.
Yes.
Hey. This is Ladybug.
Yeah, Ladybug. Sorry, I keep calling you Junebug, and you're Ladybug.
That's all right. I'll take it. I'll take it. First of all, I would like to tell you that I appreciate what you said in Paula's thing about your learning to be free when you were incarcerated. Mm-hmm. That, I work at the zoo, so that's a big issue with the animals, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And it really, it's, you know, they're well cared for. Mm-hmm. You know, on a personal level, you know, they've always been my guides. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I also want to do one of those, and I haven't yet, one of those writing prompts that Paula talked about on that topic. And I will share that once I get it written. One of the things that I try to do on a daily practice is when I shower, I use that time for Olympia, just let the water just wash everything, you know, just standing there, just absorbing it. And I also do self-Reiki at that point in time. And I blow Reiki to all of the people that I know and that are in need of Reiki. So it's kind of a thorough cleansing, just to send it to everyone. Mm. So, yeah.
I love the water as the Olympia. That's really a beautiful tool to be able to use, you know, because when we do Olympias, we start at the top of the head, right, and move down. And what I love about doing that in the shower is there's a drain.
Yes.
That can just eat that hoochah, right? It can just eat that hoochah right up. What a great tool. I love that. And I will just say, you know, my beloved River, who crossed the bridge on Monday, she had been in sanctuary in a cage in an enclosure for the last 4 years of her life. And I had a communication done with her Bloom checked in with her and also shared she wanted her freedom from her body, like altogether, like not necessarily just the cage, but just she was ready to be free. But I had a communicator work with her who really speaks in real time with them. And she was just like, when I said, oh, I wish I could have taken you home. And I was in this grief around where she was like, honey, I wish I could have taken you home. Like they were, you know, like our life is our life. And I can speak to that in real time because when I was in jail and I was in cell number 25 in the Buncombe County Jail, like that was my daily life. And I had this story that I had around that I was on a spaceship and it was fine and we were safe and all was well. And I loved the solitude of I came to love the solitude of myself because I mean, I wasn't around the other people. And for me, that was important to have my solitude and my space to do the work I needed to do. So, you know, we can tell story all the time about how these animals feel when they're in places, but honestly, we only know what we know. And we can also write a story about how they're there to teach us the lessons that they're there to teach, and they're walking their walk. And that, maybe they love us in the ways that they do. Just for giving them whatever little bit of enrichment that we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lady Beth, for the work that you do and for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in? Loving seeing so many faces here. I appreciate everybody showing up. And does anyone want to say anything else in closing about some practices that you may have and how you center yourself or ground yourself when you're in a moment of stress?
I'm going to step up and I'm going to micromanage for a moment. We only have like 8 people on here. I really want to talk to everybody. I really do.
Yeah.
So will you just unmute somebody and let's just chat? I want to hear.
I'll share.
Yeah, who's talking?
Talitha.
Hey, Talitha, go for it. Thanks, y'all. We have such a private little circle now. I really want to connect and hear you all. So, hey, Talitha.
Hi. You know, I really appreciate, Rowan, you sharing your story tonight. I just wanted to tell you how much it means to me to hear your story. And I could really relate to a lot of it, just from, you know, obviously my journey is different from yours, but definitely had me over here very misty-eyed quite a few moments there throughout your story. I have been struggling a lot with, you know, I think, Rowan, you mentioned this, how, you know, we have to get over this idea of a spiritual practice has to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when we sit in front of our altar or whatever we make as our altar for practice, that it has to be this, you know, practice in a traditional sense, I guess. And so for me lately, I've kind of been struggling with sitting in front of my altar, but a lot of what has been grounding for me is just I have a big tendency to live in my head and not really ground in my body very easily. So for me, movement has been a huge practice lately, physically, like exerting myself. So exercise, specifically, getting back into running, that's kind of a form of moving meditation for me, and being outside and doing that. And, you know, on days when I can't do that, just taking a walk and just really soaking up, you know, everything around me, the trees, the sounds of the birds, noticing the blades of grass and the wildflowers and just whatever kind of comes into focus, and just kind of taking that in and appreciating it for what it is, and then also gleaning some information from it as well. Mm-hmm. So that's really been kind of a focal point for me lately, is just getting back into a lot of practice around movement.
I love that, Talitha, and I think it's very important. It's interesting because when I was doing our opening prayer, the word gym came to mind, and I was like, why would I say the gym is a sacred place? But it can be, totally. Like, your self-care is your church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am not a huge gym person, but I have actually been going to the gym lately, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of in a place with that now that, you know, it used to be that I was at the aerial studio with my acrobatic sisters, or doing some sort of like boot camp, you know, interval training with a group of people. But lately I've been going to the gym, mm-hmm. Planet Fitness, nice. Scaling down to my, you know, $20 a month gym membership, and just like coming up with my own strength training routines and you know, sweating and feeling pretty good about it. And like, just this whole sense, this whole factor of like the self-motivation and just kind of being with myself in that practice and finding the motivation within instead of having to be, you know, I could say I'm kind of surrounded by other people doing the same thing, but yeah, that is interesting that that word popped in your head because it that did. Is actually a place going, that I've been so spending more time lately. Yep.
Yeah. And it is, you know, any of the self-care that we do that gets us out of our head and into our heart or into just being an embodied, like to do that kind of work when you're sweating and you're working your body and you're strengthening your body is a great way to be embodied. Because so many times everything that we do is checkout. You know, I mentioned it earlier with, you know, I have my time. I have to cut off my time for Netflix because I can check out for a whole day and not have moved my body or been in any practice or even noticed outside. So I appreciate that a lot, Talitha, and it can look however it looks. You know, one of my teachers taught me that because I was like, well, I can't just sit and journal. And she was like, well, can you dance? Because that's a form of journaling. Like, however you do it, however you map your life, however you get closer to yourself, because that's really all it is. It's not about getting closer to God or spirituality or whatever. It's about getting closer to yourself because you are God and you are your spirituality and you are it. You are it. You are the tool. So whatever it takes to do that, and I know, you know, it will look different for all of us.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you said about to having someone you can call to kind of be that echo or be that mirror and like tell you, you know, kind of reaffirm like what your gifts are and why you're here. And I really like that you brought that up as a suggestion. I haven't really done a lot of that recently, and I feel that that's something that I probably need to start doing again. Just reaching out. And then also when you mentioned, what was the other thing? I'm sorry, everybody. I've had a long day today.
No, sorry.
There was something else you mentioned. I can't remember, but anyway, I just appreciate, you know, what you shared tonight because it really has been helpful.
Well, you know, we all need edification. It's amazing to just call someone and tell them everything that's amazing about them, and then they will do the same to you. You know, like sometimes people will say stuff about me. You know, I work in my field, like that we edify each other a lot, and I'll hear people say stuff about me, and I'm like, wow, like I had no idea this person felt this way about me and recognized this in me or even saw this piece of me that is true. It is what's true for them, so it must be true, right? And I'm happy to do that for anybody. Talitha, I think you're amazing. Like, you were one of my favorite people at the first retreat I came to. We both share a love of the four-leggeds. And anybody who loves four-leggeds is kind of at the top of my list. But I definitely, you know, everybody has their gifts. Everybody is amazing. Everybody is. And oftentimes we shield it and hide it because we don't want people to see it. So it's really amazing to have someone that you can call up and just tell them why you think they're awesome, and they'll tell you why you're awesome, and there will be nothing else that can lift you up more that day.
Oh, I remember the other thing. I'm sorry, and then I'll be finished. But basically what you just mentioned earlier, allowing yourself to sit in the funk and allowing yourself to move through that. But like you said, setting an actual alarm or some sort of reminder to like, okay, it's time to get out of this. I've never really heard of that before, like just setting an alarm. And that's actually a pretty, I'm like, wow, why haven't I thought of that? That's pretty good. But yeah, I like that. Let yourself eat the ice cream, let yourself check out for a little bit, but then like pull yourself out of it.
It's important to indulge our feelings at times, but not stay there. One of my mentors says to me, I'll meet you where you're at, but I won't leave you there. And I love that. Like, she's like, I'll meet you there. I'll even let you stay there for a little while, but I'm not going to leave you behind. I'm not going to let you stay there for long. So allowing that, I love that. Yes, yeah, set an alarm, set a time limit. Okay, I'm going to allow myself to be in this part of my grief for this long, you know? I'm going to allow myself to express anger or vent for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to be done. I think Abraham Hicks talks about that too, about setting that time limit. Like, you've got 7 minutes to bitch, and then it's time to move to the other side of it. And I just made up the 7 minutes. I don't know what their parameter is, but, you know, I think it's important to be there, to be in the feeling. We can't be Pollyannas. We can't be, you know, I don't want to beat anybody over the head with a positivity stick, you know. Feelings are real, and we have a gamut of them, and some of them are not always the feel goods. But if we don't experience them and move to the other side, then we can't get there, because it's just still simmering. We don't want the simmering behind the scenes. We want to experience it, get it out, and then move on. So I love that. I'm glad that spoke to you, Talitha. Who are we unmuting next? One, two. Yeah, Misty. Okay. You are unmuted, Misty.
Okay, so thank you for the push to make me speak, because this freaks me out. I hate speaking up. I'd rather just like type up my answers and send it to you guys in the group. Okay, so what I connected with is how you've talked about it a few times at this point about how you have a time limit for yourself, like you just kind of get yourself out of that funk for the time limit. So I tend to like process a lot of stuff in my car. So either when I'm driving to or from school, or sometimes longer trips as well. And especially when I feel like I'm towards the end of that loop and I just need to get it out and move on, I'll pick like the furthest point up on the road and I'll call that my portal. And then when I cross the portal, then like I just let it go and I don't let my stuff come back and like start that looping process over. So that helps me.
I just want to say that I like that, because you're picking a portal on the side of the road. Yeah. You're not out in the woods, like finding the sacred fairy tree or the circle of stones or the druids. You're like interstate, whatever, you know,
yeah.
14, that's the portal. And it's kind of like what Rowan was talking about. Everything can be sacred. You're setting your intention with it, and that can be sacred. And I just love these examples of bringing the sacred into what people think of as mundane. We have such a split between, you know, calling daily life mundane and other things sacred, and there's no difference.
I think so too.
There. So I love that portal on the side of the road thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's really cool and it ends up being like a bridge. Like I'm going through a bridge or something, and that part's cool, but sometimes it's like the billboard.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah. That's
awesome. I love that.
Yeah. I do too. It just reminded me too of Goldie saying earlier, the tunnel. And I'm like, I was imagining some of the tunnels we drive through in Asheville, you know, and I'm like, oh, you come out of the tunnel and there you are. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Misty. Thank you for the push.
Up,
even though you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Awesome. What about you, Blue? Let's unmute Blue. I haven't seen you in a long time, Miss Blue. You can't talk yet. She's looking. There we go.
I just unmuted you. Hi.
Aloha.
Aloha.
It's been a while, and it's interesting that I showed up in this. Well, it's not interesting, but that's how it is. I have been missing from the group because I've been doing, I've been cruising with my mom a lot. She had broke her hip. And so it's been a lot of just spending time with my mom. She's 84. And so for me, I don't know how long she wants to, you know, stay in her vessel. And so I'm just I've kind of been out of what I need lately and just been putting it towards my mom, hanging out with her, hearing her stories, and just watching her transition, watching her be angry and be happy and go through all the emotions of the eventual, you know, where she's got to go. And so that's what I've been doing. And in the process, that's kind of focused me to understand, to take advantage of youth that you have left in your body. Mm. As far as mobility, really just thankful for walking. It's just that I've been seeing when, you know, as we get older, and a couple days ago too, I was sitting in a home visiting a cousin where one of our uncles, he has dementia. Mm. And behind him is their son that it has a terminally ill cancer. And my cousin is the caregiver, and just seeing her energy get, just being, you know, as a caregiver, you can either keep your, but I just see her just, it's all going that out. And it just puts me in a place of just massive appreciation and also respect for people that care, give. And that's kind of where I've been. As far as with my own healing journey, it's, man, my, the stories I've told and who I am is really changing. And I'm really in a place of just, guys, I'm just in a place of true, like, limbo. That big question, who am I, is just bang in my face. You know, Bloom knows I play music. I've lost, like, interest in it for a little bit. And being okay with that. Realizing that that is a story that I wrote and I don't need to keep telling it. I can put it aside. I mean, honestly, guys, I have been very hermetic. Like, this is it. You guys are it. I mean, as far as I have one good friend that I, like you were saying, Rowan, the lady, that you kind of, I am in this just stage of everything's dissolving. My husband is tripping out because he's trying to understand, like, what's where are you, you know, in all this. And he's got a transition too, and I'm helping him so that our marriage, as I'm going through this crazy shift, doesn't dissolve, which is so you know, that happens sometimes when you change. Anyway, guys, that's where I'm at. In a nutshell, you know, in a nutshell, that's kind of where I've been. But self-care has mostly just been watching the stories all around and just being center. I had this vision, for, like you were saying, you listen to music, right? So, the, you know the song by Imagine Dragons, Thunder? Yes. So I blast that bugger, and then I see myself in the Zen suit with this stick and, like, all my whole consciousness is just shifting all around me. And, like, I'll see these memories coming in, and I'm like this Zen master just kind of pushing them that way, and then, and it just spins the whole, my whole consciousness of the bad memories, the good memories. And I'm just, like, sitting there just in a state of peace while this consciousness storm is just spinning around me, and then it all just settles, and I'm out of it. But that's one tool I use, is just to let it just spin while I'm in the center with an awesome Zen suit on, and, you know, like, full Matrix outfit, right? You know, but yeah, that's one of my tools I use.
It's funny that you just mentioned the Matrix, because when you were talking about having, you know, this sword and having this energy going around you and you being the peace, I imagine Trinity.
Right.
So because she's one of my superheroes. But I love that. I love that you see yourself as the piece. The eye in the storm.
I was in that storm.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to, you know, not be a part of it and get, it's, you know, the cliche of awakening and enlightenment, but I am awake in the story. Nobody tells you that once, you know, it's typical, like, blue pill, red pill, right? You know, you wake up and it's supposed to be this wonderful, awesome thing, and it's destructive, you know, like.
No life, right?
Madness, you know, and yeah, you're the seeker, and you're like, oh, it's enlightenment, such a beautiful word, awakening, you know, and then you find out it's, whoa, gang, you know, and so you can never go back to sleep, so you just have to move with it, and that's what I've been doing. It's interesting being in a romantic relationship and having your partner who, you know, sees you go through this and you have to transition together, mm-hmm. and then be okay. Like the other night, we're at a place where he's okay if we can like consciously uncouple or keep it together. Mm-hmm. And that's big for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at.
Wow. I love it. I want to acknowledge the fact that you're just here, that you showed up, and that you just shared really transparently, because that's part of being in community and being witnessed. And, you know, good to get to know you in this way. I love you. Like, you're amazing. Yeah.
I don't have time anymore for superficial relationships.
Yeah.
No, not sorry.
Praises. Hallelujah.
And you know, we show up here and I have to be myself. I've done it so long where I haven't. And like yesterday I got into a massive, like, I was it 2 days ago, I got into an argument with my husband, right? And I refused to say sorry. Good. Because I was, and I told him I may have been wrong, but I'm not going to say sorry, because I'm not sorry yet. You know, like, I used to say sorry, right? As just, oh, let's just make it better. And you know, I was like, I checked in. I was like, are we sorry yet? We're not sorry. Okay, we're not going to say sorry then. You know, I mean, why am I going to give a fake, you know, apology? It's going to come when it's ready. And it might never come. And it's okay. You better be cool with that. Yeah, like, yeah. And don't say sorry to me either. Because you was being who you was being. And you're being real, right? We was being real to each other. So why are we going to say sorry, you know? But that's where I'm at, and it might not be cool, but for other people, or even for me, but I don't care at this point. You know?
Do you remember the sorry jar? Didn't we have a sorry jar at one of the retreats?
Yep.
We say it so unconsciously. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry all day long.
You say sorry.
We do not want to create that as our reality, right? I am not sorry. I may be apologetic sometimes. But I am not sorry.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing, Blue.
For hearing us.
Appreciate that. Ember's next on my screen. Hi, Ember.
Hi. So I definitely knew I was going to be next. As Blue was talking, I had a really intense deja vu moment, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm next. So that was interesting. So some of the main things I do, I write poetry, and it's almost like there's times where I can't help but write poetry. It's like something gets a hold of me and it's like, you have to write this down right now. And it's like, once I start, it just sort of flows and it's a really intense experience. And the dancing, like you were talking about, I really connect with that. I do a lot of dancing by myself, and like I go out places. I dance with fire. It's something I've picked up over the last year, which has been a really, really powerful thing. Because, you know, music holds so much emotion and we can work through so many things and we can get stuck in so many things. And like when you pair that with dancing and with fire, it's like you can channel whatever feeling that you need to through your body and literally give it to the fire. And it's an incredible experience. I feel like there's a lot in my life that I need to give to the fire, to, you know, the back to the universe right now. And I'm just holding on to things. And that's kind of it's a hard place to be in. I think if I don't start giving things up soon voluntarily, they're just going to be taken away. Just it's how life works sometimes. But yeah, I guess that's where I'm at the moment.
Fire's been big for us. Yes, Bloom, this past equinox. Bloom just opened up a fire circle on her land. And I love that you were talking about giving things to the fire. Because I feel like she receives so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, sometimes when, you know, I mentioned earlier that at one point I was a wildfire and I tried to become the controlled burn. It can get out of control with fire. And so some of the things that you said are all about control. Like if I don't give it up, it's going to be taken away.
Yeah.
And what I would love to affirm for you is that you are in control and that you have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And to just whatever that means for you, like that's all that's coming through for me is like that you get to be in control, that it doesn't have to be a taking away or a losing, mm-hmm. that it can be a choice. And sometimes we hold on to things because they're still serving us in some way. Mm-hmm. My anger served me for a long time and then it didn't anymore. And I was loved that I had people that called me out on that. And, you know, I will just give it up, give my props to my friend, my maestra, Bloom, because she was one of those people who was willing to just say, you are so angry and out of control. And fire brings that sometimes. And it serves us when it serves us. Sometimes there's stuff that we should be pissed about, you know? And other times we hold on, like you use that language of holding on to things that maybe aren't serving you anymore that you need to let go of. So you just get to sit with that and be with it. And, you know, I appreciate your voice and I appreciate you coming and sharing with us what that is. Did she disappear? I think she disappeared. Anyway,
yeah, her Wi-Fi might have gone out, but she can catch that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So
maybe the fire came and put out her Wi-Fi.
Fire came, and she's like, "I'm gonna go do that right now."
No, she probably it probably dropped.
Awesome. Yeah. Who's next? On my Swin Ray.
Swin Ray, hey. Oh, I want to mention Swin Ray and Ember. Ember had asked about the retreat, where we have a fire ceremony on Saturday night at the retreat. So we're definitely working with the fire element too, which is, mm-hmm. I love how they talked about dancing and then giving it to the fire through the dance. So that was really cool. Hi, Swin Ray.
Hello. While you guys were talking, my cat came up and sat with me. So this is one of the things that helps me feel more aligned. It's just like being with him. Mm-hmm. He's a living creature that allows me to be in his presence, because he can be so mean to everybody else, but he lets me be a little bit closer. So that's a lot. That's really nice. One thing that I wanted to talk about was just yesterday, I kind of put this room together that I'm in. Because I live at my parents' house. And I've been sleeping upstairs in my old bedroom and spending most of my time down here in my art studio and this bedroom. And I realized that I'd kind of been like floating in between these like two unlivable rooms because I wasn't really living in either of them. So yesterday I kind of spent the whole day just like putting the bed in the corner, putting decorations on the wall. I set up a new altar. And everything just feels a lot more fresher and I feel more grounded and I'm like feeling excited to like see where this goes on my journey. And I don't know, it feels good to just have a place to that feels more like myself. And I'm excited to like put a couch in here and put more things on the walls, make it my own, you know. And I also resonated with something that Blue was saying. You were saying that you do music and then recently you've been feeling kind of uninterested in it. I'm an artist and that's been my whole life and my identity for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And just recently I had a solo show and then afterwards I realized like I'm enjoying this, but I haven't been feeling very fulfilled from it because my vision got kind of distorted along the way and I just kind of felt like I needed to step off that path for a little bit, kind of align myself so then I can like really feel better about going back into it and do it a little bit more intentionally because I was being very chaotic with it, like every single day just like making something, posting it online, and just like creating a following, which is cool, but that's not like what I'm doing it for. It's because I'm like, I need to be doing it for myself and not others. And I kind of like lost that along the way. So I'm gaining that back. I'm doing more personal projects with my art instead of just like doing it for other people to see. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love it. I'll just share something around that piece. And I love that Blue brought that in about losing. Sometimes we lose interest in the thing that lights our fire, the fire in our belly, right? And, you know, being a midwife was all I knew for the longest time. It was my calling. It was my purpose on this planet. And then it got taken away. And then I was kind of angry about it. And then I had this thing where I was like, I'm not interested in birth work at all. And it came back around in a way that now I'm teaching it. So now I'm a teacher in the birth world. I may not ever sit at a birth again, but I can still hold the space for up and coming aspiring midwives. So we find our path and our way, and maybe sometimes what it looks like in our passion shifts and changes, but we're still in that world.
Right? Yeah.
So I love that. And it doesn't mean that it won't come back. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we can't always be on. That's what I know. We get to step back and flow in and flow out like the river. The river is constantly moving. So I appreciate, Swinray, you sharing that and, you know, everybody who's, I mean, you know, we, like I said, we can't always be on. We may love pizza, but we don't want it every day. Right?
Jen Wilson?
Yeah.
Because I know you resonated. I saw you shaking your head resonating with what they just
said. Yeah, that hit home really hard. Yeah. First of all, thanks for sharing your story, Rowan. But yeah, I've always been in the healing professions. And was a physician assistant, worked in orthopedic surgery. Wow. Did that for years, loved it. And it got taken away from me for a different reason when my own health went south and went into a deep depression, became very angry, So yeah, I understand that sense of loss when it feels like that's who you are, and that so much of life is wrapped up in that. And I'm still not completely over it. I'd like to say I am, but I'm not. but I'm doing the things I need to do. I think I'm working on it. I am trying to do things to work more on my right brain, the creative side, because I've lived so much in my left brain for so many years for everything I've done, and just trying to balance out a little bit more, trying to go back to writing, which once upon a time I was a decent writer. Actually picked up my guitar again recently. Find myself actually picking my camera up and taking photos again, which I love doing photography. It's still a process, and you know, there's times when it's harder than others. But just keep doing what I'm doing, and having to also learn that it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to ask for support. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am right now. But yeah, when you said that hit home really hard.
I never want people to think that I'm done, that I am over it. Mm-hmm. When you said I'm still not over it, neither yeah. am I. I just have a new, different ways of managing it. That's all. Right? Yeah, so that just shifts and changes. And I love that you shared that. And now I understand why I have this kindred spirit with you.
Exactly.
In so many ways. So yeah, I'm not over it. I will never say, oh, I'm healed, I'm done. It's just looking at it through a different lens on a regular basis and seeing the gifts that come from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
HB. Hi.
Hi. Can y'all hear me? Yeah. Okay. Technology. Okay. Hi. Oh my goodness. So what I'm to join in and say what I'm struggling with is just connecting with others and being in community, because that's just not something that ever really worked out for me for whatever reason. Probably lots of reasons, but anyway. Just feeling like you can talk to people and connect with them and speak genuinely, because I think there's a lot of background of people like projecting things on me, for sure, of they see me this way or they see me that way, and all those stories. And I can be very quiet. I'll be the pensive one in the room, which doesn't help this projecting thing. Plus, people are very excited about their stories sometimes. Anyway, so I have done work letting that go and just being like, you know, that's maybe there's some stories over there. There's a blank wall. You could go talk, project over there, right? That's part of it. And the other part is me coming up and articulating more and feeling safe and confident that I can share what's real for me. And it's gonna land. The connections will build themselves, and I don't have to worry about that, because when they don't land, they just don't. The person, like what some of y'all have said, they're on a different journey. And they're just on that journey, and I'm on this one. And remember the people that when I speak up and they're like, yes, yes, you know, come over here, let's go this way together. And so bringing myself tools into alignment that y'all are thinking, I'm definitely, physicalness is what I do. So I have a lot of practice in that. And so connecting, one of my favorites is to, one of the practices to do is to feel in a 360 around me. So I'll start forward and I'll look at the wall and I'll remember that the wall's made of a board and the board has two sides, the one in the front and the one behind. So I'll put my eyes to the back side of the board and that softens my gaze and it kind of changes the way that I feel because I'm looking at something that I can't literally see with my physical eyeballs, right? And then I'll try to feel, like, how far away is that? You know, you can reach out and you know how far away something is. So I try to feel how far away. I'll do the same thing behind me, like, what's behind me? And to the right and to the left. So that's kind of seeing what's there and it's feeling how far away it is. And then the next piece of that is remembering how much of our body is made up of water. And those water are in these cells. And the cells make up everything. And so as far as embodying and engaging, I'll picture those, the water in my cells. And maybe that water just goes forward a little bit and heads out everybody up forward to that back of the board. And then maybe that the water in the back will go back this way, right? So that visual, just I can see everybody when you say your water's made up of all these, your cells made up of all this water, right? Everyone's like, oh, because it immediately just kind of helps your mind loosen up and, you know, come out a little bit from any kind of stuck place. So yeah, when I'm all fiery and I've lost, you know, one end or the other, I'll just, all right, that's one of the tools that I use is that 360 and then bringing it back into those cells and water and expanding out, but remembering that they're mine and they come back to me and we can sit there for a while. That's that.
Wow. Do you go by KB? Is that what you're called? HB? Is that what you're called?
Oh, no, technology. I'm Megan. So y'all see me.
You're Megan. Oh, yeah. And you messaged earlier. Okay.
I don't know why I show up as HB. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Well, Megan, yeah. That was really beautiful. Thank you for seeing me as fluid and water. I don't have a lot of that. Thank you for allowing me to see through your lens. Like, beautiful. I feel like that's an amazing way to bring this to full fruition. Wow. Like, wow.
We're all here for each other. I mean,
yeah.
We're all sharing. It's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that reflection. And I just want to acknowledge that you are not over in the corner, quiet and unseen. Like you, that was powerful. That was amazing. And
when it's time, I'm loud. It's just a lot of people kind of,
Because
of that, I've been pulled in. I don't know, but yeah.
You know, it reminds me of how people see, you know, like the masters, the true masters. Like you have to lean in to hear what they have to say because they don't say things often. So that was really brilliant and amazing. And I want to know you more. So I would love, thank you everybody for showing up tonight. I'm actually really grateful. It was a smaller group and everybody got to share something. And I appreciate Bloom, our maestra, for giving me a platform tonight and a voice to share something. I don't even know what I shared anymore because that's the way it is. And I would love any closing words from anybody who wants to share. I'm just truly grateful to have created this container tonight in a way that, you know, I feel like everybody got to be seen and heard because that's what's important to me.
Yeah, I'm going to jump on that and piggyback. I know we need to close up. The one thing I want to mention, I really appreciate everybody sharing. It's been fun. I turned off my video at first so you wouldn't be intimidated that I was here. I didn't want you to think about me being here. I wanted to do your thing, and it was awesome. And I walked this journey, you know, outside of her situation with her. I was not in the jail with her. And I really just want to acknowledge that that was like a 5 or 10 minute story of something that was a really long and painful
7 years.
It was a really long and painful initiation. And I love how you're reframing it. That's such a reminder to all of us, because that was such an intense initiation. But if you can reframe that, there's a lot that we can reframe. And I also want to honor, you know, that it was just as intense as you might think it was when you hear her story. It was just, it was a really intense initiation. It was an intense initiation to witness it and witness the helplessness to do anything, you know, to be helpless to do anything about it. And you're, these days with technology, when people are in, I guess you were in jail, they didn't even, she wasn't even going to court yet. She was just in a holding building. And I could Skype with her for like, it costs like $25 or $30 for like 15 minutes or something. It was really expensive. But I would take my laptop with this camera outside.
I got to see outside. Is the only way I got to see outside was through.
Yeah, there was actually no windows, no fresh air. And it may, every time I start to talk about this, I start to get weepy. But to be taking the laptop outside, showing her the outdoors when she couldn't see it or smell it or feel it, there was no natural light, no fresh air. It was just, it was super intense. And so to be able to get your Swiss Miss and your styrofoam cup and just breathe into it and pretend you're on a spaceship, I can't even imagine how you did that, how you got through that. And to hear that the tools that you've learned, not from me, but from a lot of people, got you through, is such a powerful reminder and testament to just keep putting your foot in front of the other foot and keep using your tools and things shift. I mean, it's just so powerful. Every time I think I'm over your story and I can talk about it without getting emotional, I realize I'm not. It was traumatic. And I'm not comparing yours to anybody else here. Everybody's story is intense for them. Everybody's initiation is equally intense for them. But I just really wanted to tell you, thank you for sharing. Thank you for staying. Thank you for just continuing to breathe and work with the tools and be an example for the rest of us. And just, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. I appreciate everybody being here, and I appreciate you stepping up to lead tonight. It was a real honor to listen to everybody and hear where you are and your stories. I'm really appreciating getting to know you that way. And, you know, Goldie, you're in your car, like Rowan was talking about, you know, you can do this anywhere. And Swin, Ray, I don't know which one you want to go by. We'll call you both, but you've created a sacred space for yourself. You needed a nest, you know, and that's, I love that you've done that. I love that Misty has taken this into the schools with the kids. I mean, y'all are just so inspiring, just so inspiring. And thank you, Rowan. Thank you for just showing up again and again and again, angry or not, just thanks for showing up.
You know, I'll just say Bloom is the only person who took me outside during my jail experience. She would Skype with me. This is how I knew she wasn't just my shaman, my friend, my leader. She was also my friend. She would take me into her garden and show me what was blooming. And she would allow me to see, she had a foster dog at the time, Lillian. I would watch her frolicking in the garden and playing. Y'all have no idea. That may have saved lives. And I laugh about that, but like really, it was powerful, and it showed me who was really in it with me for the long haul. And that's all you have to know. Like Lou, you mentioned this, you have that one person, like who's your person? Mm-hmm. Who's the person you can count on? That's all that matters. And it may not be a person. It may be a four-legged. It may be, you know, your cat, Swin Ray, sitting on your lap, who maybe cuts and kills everybody else, but gives you all that love. And, you know, thank you, Bloom, for being who you are, my maestra, my teacher. I appreciate so much this container and the space that you always hold. You do it with such integrity. Mm-hmm. and such realness. Like, we don't get to see our teachers always as real humans, and we get to see Bloom as a real person, and that is what draws me to this work for a decade. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to speak to name what you briefly brought up, Megan. You know, I jokingly call all this community that comes together either online or in person, we're like the land of misfit toys, you know, but we all fit together. We find each other. I spent a long time without a person, you know, without feeling that support. And I just ended up creating a community and being able to finally invite people in where I can be exactly who I am. And it's okay. It's kind of like Jen, you mentioned at the cacao ceremony, like finding a place where you can be yourself and talk about this stuff and nobody looks at you weird, you know, and just being able to be authentic. I feel like one of the reasons it was important to create community for me personally is I needed that space. And I find that the people who show up in this community are people who don't necessarily fit in. And so we fit in with each other. And so I just want to mention that I spent a lot of time without, you know, that one person or whatever. And some of you might not feel like you have a person right now, but like Rowan said, I worked with my guides until I found humans who could actually step the up, you know what I'm saying? And my guides were all I had for a long time. So if that's how you are feeling in your life right now, they're with you, you know? And I just want you to know that, you know, I know that lonely road, not in jail, but
same.
I didn't feel free and I wasn't even in jail. So I really do just want to name that we so often, just what you mentioned, Megan, I get it, you know, when it's just not clicking with other people. But thank you, Rowan. I want to let everybody hop off now. It's almost 8:30. Look at that cutie patootie hopping on with Blue. I love it. Thank you, Rowan. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. I love all of you. I'm happy to be the person to reflect your beauty.
We can just say goodnight now. I'm unmuting everybody so they can say goodnight.
Goodnight.